to another episode of The Geek Lounge. I'm your host, Luis LaTorre.
And I'm Adam Smasher.
And I'm Erica Hart.
Oh, yeah. That's a triad. I call that the triad.
The triad. Right, order of the triad.
That is actually our first take doing it all together. So that's nice.
True. That was awesome, actually.
That was fantastic.
I feel so special.
There you go. And I actually feel happy this week. Now, this is a little moment of light in my otherwise dark week.
So why don't you start us off with what you did specifically last night?
Oh, man. Okay. So my summer movie spectacular continues. Jamboree. I forgot what we called it. And that's been okay.
Spectacular summer movie Jamboree.
Spectacular summer movie Jamboree. That's what we agreed on. Yeah, that's
right. I
think
so, yeah.
And then I had some stuff happen through the week that I didn't particularly like. Let me give you the first one. I was shopping for my spectacular summer movie Jamboree.
Yeah.
At a store. I'm not going to mention which.
Makes sense.
And I'm really bad at talking to people that I recognize from a long time ago, mostly high school. I don't know if you guys have that problem when high school.
Most people, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Not particularly friends, but people you know or who knew you. I don't like talking to those people, not for any other reason, but that I don't like small talk and that really I have nothing to say to them.
Yeah.
So when I see somebody, I try my best to ignore them. I don't know if you guys do the same.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes. I go out of my way to ignore them. But this one, I fucked up really, really bad. I have a terrible staring problem. So I see this person.
Wow, that's weird.
Who I think I recognize. Oh, yeah.
You got a staring problem?
Yes. Yes, I do. I'm sorry. I see this person that I recognize at the store. And I don't know who he is. Like, I can't make out his face at first.
Yeah.
Until I keep staring at him. And then
until it's like past the point of normal comfort.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Then he looks over, because he's not even looking at me. Then he looks over at me.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at him. By the time he turns to look at me, I realize who he is and that I do not want to talk to him. I think I know that guy. Turns his head, look at me. Oh, shit. It's too late now. We've made contact with our eyes.
Yeah.
Incoming conversation.
Yeah. So I do something that I think is, I don't know if it's, you guys tell me if it's shitty. I think it's shitty.
Yeah.
I should have stopped at that point. That was my fault for staring for so long. I start walking faster as though I'm in a hurry. And I'm not in any particular hurry. I don't need to be anywhere. I did want to get out of the store, but I'm not in any particular hurry. So I start walking faster. And as I'm walking by him, he's like, "Oh, hey man, what's up?" He recognized me with the beard, I guess. I didn't have this much beard in high school. He recognized, "Hey man, what's up? Oh, hey man, how you doing? It's been a while." "Yeah, it has. Casey, later." I'm telling him all this as I'm walking by him, like really fast. I'm speed walking by him. Like, wow. I don't want to stop to talk to him. So he's like, "Hey, man, it's been a while." "Oh, yeah, it has. Okay, see you later." I'm still walking. I have not stopped. I have not gone back to talk to him. I just kept going. And I was like, well, I'm glad I avoided the conversation. I probably could have done that a lot better. I think.
I have an anecdote similar to that.
Sure.
Regarding the guy that taught me Starfleet Battles.
Yeah.
Which you know we play that game, which you don't like for too much.
No.
It's a little too slow, a little too involved, but that's cool.
Uh-huh.
So very quickly, the guy that taught me this game, he was a horrible cheater. He would only teach the rules as he felt they were advantage to him.
Sure.
Now, granted, we were teenagers, so yeah, like 16. And so it got to the point where I actually bought the rule set, and he would just flat out lie about the rules, and just it got to the point where it was like kind of a negative fallout. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just like, yeah, go away.
Yeah.
And it was a negative fallout like 3 years later. I think I was, no, maybe it was when I was back from.
Say what, you're 19.
When I was back from Europe. So maybe it was when I was like 20, 21.
Yeah.
I run into him at like some freaking coffee shop, like at Palace Station or Boulder Station or something like that.
Sure.
And he comes up to me and I recognize him, but I was tipsy. And I just completely like, "I'm sorry, man. I don't remember you." He's like, "It's me. It's me. Such and such." And I'm just like, "I don't remember you." I was like, "I'm sorry, man. That doesn't ring a bell. I don't know what you're talking about."
That sounds like you were doing it on purpose, though. I don't know who you are, sir. I do not speak to cheaters.
You just got blanked.
Yeah.
Be the impartial judge, Erica. Is that worse than what I did? Or
yeah. I think what you did is worse, to be
is
honest.
It? Wow. Yeah.
I mean, if you honestly don't remember, but... Like, you could have avoided the situation by just not looking at him. You already know you don't want to talk to him, right? You just said that.
You got called out.
No, that's true. That's true. But like I said, I have a terrible staring problem. When I see someone, I'm like, do I recognize? I've done it before to where they haven't caught me, and I just ignore them. I'm just like, okay, I'll just ninja this way so that I don't have to talk to anybody. But this particular guy, we were out in the open in the middle of an aisle, the main aisle of the store, and I just could not ignore him. I should have just walked right the fuck by him, but instead I decided to go, who is that guy?
Look at this set of Bejeweled for my clothes. Wow, this is fascinating. Yeah. I should buy this for me and my teenage girlfriend.
I think I've done that once where I recognize someone. Well, usually when I recognize someone, I go, oh, yeah, nice to see you. Because I really liked everyone I went to high school with. There were very few exceptions. Although once when I was in a mall, I saw a guy and he looks at me and I look at him and he looks at me and I look at him. And we're both standing there like, where do I know you from? Both of us. I go, I kind of recognize you. Do you recognize me? And he goes, you look familiar. And we're like, what school did you go to? No, not that one. Were you at this con? Nope, not that one. Well, bye. We couldn't pin each other. We were just like, that was bizarre.
I had that feeling
see
yesterday.
See you never again.
At the con, which we'll talk about more later, of course. But
I'm glad you had a people a positive.
I know that person. I just don't remember from where.
High school experience. I had a very meh high school experience. So there was a lot of people I grew to dislike. Yeah. For a lot of reasons. That guy in particular was a very nice guy. I don't think I ever had any kind of problem with him. I just didn't want to talk to him about his life. I didn't care enough to talk to him about whatever he had going on. You know what I mean? Because I'm not a fan of small talk, for one.
Yeah, coincidentally, one of my high school reunions is this year, and they're pushing hard to get everybody to join, and I'm just like, I don't...
Oh, yeah, you know what?
I vaguely remember most of you. I don't care. It sounds shitty, but it's like, high school is not that... Yeah. Memorable for me. Yeah. It just wasn't.
They did that on Facebook for my high school. They wanted to get everybody to go to the reunion. I guess they didn't have enough people and they ended up canceling it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, I'm glad I wasn't going to go anyway because, you know, fuck that, I guess.
Well, there's like individuals I care, like that I'm friends with Facebook and things like that.
No.
But it's like, even one of them asked me, she's just like, oh, you going to go? I'm thinking about it. I'm just like, no, I just don't feel the need to go. And it's like, I don't care enough about most of those people. If we get together and do something, then let's all get together and do something with a smaller group of us. But I don't care to have some It's where I'm living that idea of like, well, you know, here I am and like, I got nothing to prove to you. I don't care. It's like we didn't like each other back then. Is that going to change? I don't know. I mean, maybe I would have a good time. Who knows? But I just don't care enough to find out.
I think I've got the same thing, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care enough to go to fucking high school reunion.
I feel like one of the whole point of those reunion things is see where these people are, but you can see that on Facebook now.
Yeah, that's a good
point. Like everybody I wanted to keep up with is on there mostly. Some people I still can't find.
Yeah.
Where are you?
That's like most of the ones I care about or care to know about. I see on Facebook. So that's.
Yeah, my best friend from high school is still my friend today.
Yeah.
So.
Me too.
You know, and there's some people.
Is that Munch?
No. He's way younger than me. I was.
Is he really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. He's a baby.
He's a baby.
He's a baby. He's just a boy.
He's just a boy.
A youngin'.
Is it D-Box?
Yeah, it's D-Box.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, and anybody else is just really. There's only a few people, but like I said, I don't care enough. Even if I did, even if you were like that guy was a nice guy. I didn't have a problem with that guy that I remember. I didn't care. And that may sound shitty. I just didn't care.
So there
care.
You go. We are all horrible people.
Is that what you call that? I just, you know, I have no interest in knowing about how they're doing or, I mean, I hope they're doing well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Know, no, I don't.
In the way that I hope that people do well, people I don't know, you know? Yeah, exactly. But not like personally, I do not care.
Yeah. Same thing. It's like, I don't wish anybody ill will. Even the people I had issues with, I don't wish ill will. It's just,
yeah. No, that's different. I'm different. I hold grudges. So I hope they're doing terrible.
You're younger. You're
I hope they're doing terrible.
Yeah.
So there was that. And the reason that affected me is because I did feel bad after walking away. Like, I could have done that better. I could have been a little friendlier. Yeah. Maybe. That was probably terrible. Then we went to the con, which was nice. Yeah. So that was nice.
Which we're going to get all sorts into in a little while.
Yeah.
The con was fun.
And then there was a specific thing that happened yesterday, which is...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I am a sports fan. I love watching soccer, as do you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about
I'll take it or leave it.
Soccer, yeah.
I watch games
sports
in a group.
Sports in general or soccer?
I watch games.
Soccer and
of
football.
Thrones.
Oh, okay.
Which in some countries, it's... The other way around,
sure.
I guess.
Actually, it's soccer. Don't let them fool you. The British invented it. They called it soccer, but now even British have abandoned that term, which is a shame.
Yeah.
So I've been watching the Copa America,
yeah,
which is a bunch of Central American teams and North American
all the
teams.
Americans, yeah,
all the American all the teams. And I watched Mexico versus Chile yesterday, which I thought was going to be a good game. I thought,
yeah, there you was thought a, it would be a good yeah, game. Yeah,
there was predictions for the finals being Mexico Argentina.
Yeah,
and that last night that was not the case as the game. And I'm using air quotes here because that was not a game.
Yeah,
that was sodomy that took place on public television.
As we used to say in the 80s, that was a skunk.
Yeah,
or nowadays qualifies as a shellacking.
Where the score was 0-7.
Yeah.
And, which is completely unheard of.
Not Mexico.
Not completely
Spain.
Unheard of, but
that's pretty rare.
It's pretty
for a
uncommon.
Soccer match
it's pretty that, uncommon, yeah.
Especially in like some kind of tournament or cup.
Yeah, an international tournament. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this isn't like this isn't a specific league. This is an international tournament.
Especially out of group play.
Yeah.
So
and they were doing so well throughout the whole
Mexico, yeah, Mexico
tournament.
Did look good in the tournament.
And then they got to Chile then it became 0-7 and the whole time.
That was absolutely shocking, yeah.
Score, yeah, it was funny because I was watching with a bunch of family. Yeah. First goal, okay, we can come back. Second goal, oh, we got time. We can still come back. Third goal, okay, this isn't looking good, guys. After that, fourth goal, fifth goal, sixth goal, we were just like, you know what? They could score another one. Go ahead, score another one. Fuck, fuck us, right?
Ah, fuck,
score.
They did.
Fuck us, score another one. Yeah, I got to the point where like, I hope they score 10 on us.
That
fuck
sucks. Em. Matter of fact, here, let me read the text you texted me at, I got it at like 10:30 or 11 last night when I got out of the movies. It was actually kind of comical. Where is it? Oh,
so it met the requirements for a shellacking.
Yeah. Yes. I get a sad face.
All qualifications.
I get a sad face.
I don't send sad faces very often.
Not coming in tomorrow on account of a depression from Mexico losing. That's what I get.
Yeah, I was not
so
going to
come in. I'm surprised you're here. So good thing you're here.
Yeah. I was mad the whole night.
Yeah.
It was terrible. If you don't like sports, I'm sorry, but it's just, you know, this is part of my week and I have to vent before I explode on the inside.
Yeah. How about you, Erica?
I've
How was
never
your week?
Been more disappointed.
It was all right.
Yeah.
I saw the Warcraft movie
recently.
That's
right.
Yeah.
And
you liked
that?
It, right?
I did like it.
Yep.
I've played a lot of the games. Like I played Warcraft 3 before I played World of Warcraft.
Ah, okay.
I've heard good stuff from people who have seen it about the
like
movie.
It.
Like it was good. It was a good movie. So I mean, I'm convinced. I want to go see it.
It wasn't.
I
like
do want to see it. Yeah.
Brilliantly fantastic or anything.
Yeah,
it was fun.
Like, it was fun. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I would say it was fun, and it really does imply that there's going to be another movie.
Yeah.
And I know some people are like, it's so obvious and I feel cheated or something because they want to make another movie. I'm like, it's going to have all the characters I actually like in it. So I'm excited, you know, because the first one is kind of a prequel, actually.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. And I know the director, I think it was his first movie, or at least it was his first big movie. When he directed that movie, I freaking loved that movie even before I found out who he was. So I'm curious for Warcraft. Just because of him. Because of the other movie he directed. So
Moon.
Did you want to? Yeah, Moon. Did you see that one?
Which one?
Moon with Sam
Rockwell.
The one with,
as I say, is that the one with Sam Rockwell?
And Kevin Spacey, yeah.
I have not seen that, no.
Oh,
is it
what?
Good?
It's good.
Is it good?
I
that
love
is
it.
Is great science fiction, yeah. Fantastic, actually, yeah. And it goes against convention, too, which is rare.
I like that it plays on your expectations.
Oh, yeah.
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 Like, you think this is going to happen,
both
but
Kevin
something
Spacey,
else will.
Yeah. Both Kevin Spacey's character and Sam Rockwell's character.
Yeah.
That's both. Two weird people in one movie.
Yeah.
I like them.
Flick,
I like
man.
Those guys.
Great
Sam Rockwell
flick.
Is great.
It's pretty surreal.
Kevin Spacey's pretty great. I did want to see it. I just haven't gotten a chance to.
Yeah.
Well,
I love movies, but I don't get a chance to watch everything.
Yeah.
Oh, I finally got my Battle.net account open again because I'm like, I want to play StarCraft. I still haven't played Legacy of the Void.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to revisit all of those games before I buy it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
What did I do this week? I took some time off after last week's
Yeah, you did. From our day job, you did.
Yeah, I did. I didn't do much. I had some kind of, I guess I was having some kind of malware issues, but then Frank said there was a bigger issue going on, I guess.
Frank is one of our staff writers who's very well-versed in computers.
Correct, yeah. He was saying there was something bigger going on with certifications across the internet, so it wasn't just, it had more to do with your internet browser than it did your computer, but it was kind of nasty. Mm. But
damn.
Yeah, I was kind of effed up.
Damn it.
It was little stuff. It was nothing that affected me horribly adversely, but, you know, it was
hepatitis C++.
Yeah, more like herpes. More like herpes.
Yeah. Know,
where it's like annoying but not detrimental.
You would know this because
everyone on the planet has herpes after the age of 13. That's why.
Herpes.
Other than that,
but you have the herpes
and the clap.
I don't think I did too much. I mean, I played some Witcher 3. I started that again because I got the DLCs and I wanted to start over. And
yeah.
Then, what else did I do? I saw The Conjuring 2. That was actually surprisingly good. Very good. You don't expect much out of a sequel. And the first one was good. I wouldn't say it was great.
Yeah.
But the second one was like just way better. I thought anyway.
Right.
Just a lot better. Yeah. It was good. And the first one was good. So
cool.
It was cool stuff. And then other than that, of course,
I have to watch that. But yeah, The Con was fun.
Yeah.
I didn't find anything that I was looking for, but The Con was fun. Well, I went with a specific amount of money to spend.
Yeah.
Like, I'm only going to spend this much, and I'm only going to spend it on this stuff that I find.
Yeah.
Well, I found some of the stuff, and it was way overpriced.
Yeah.
And then other stuff I just couldn't find. So I'm just buying a bunch of prints from people.
Nice.
So.
Nice. Yeah, I did get something, and I found something I wanted.
Yeah.
But the price wasn't any worse than online, but it wasn't any better than online. Uh-huh. And there was something.
I feel shitty Amazoning stuff at people's booths. Do you feel shitty doing it?
Yeah, I do. That's why.
Especially if it's the same price.
That's why I usually come with a pre-printed list.
I bought a figure. I was like, can I wait and just get it on Amazon later for the same price? Like, no, on Amazon, this is almost $50 and it's $20 here. Like, yeah, okay, I'll just get it here. Yeah. But
I picked it up and it's beautiful.
Mm.
And if you don't know, it's King Ghidorah by SH Monster Arts.
Ooh.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
It's huge.
And it is huge.
It's huge.
Yeah. Maybe I'll put a picture up on it for it later, but it's nice. And it goes with all the other SH Monster Arts Godzillas I have. Yeah. Like I said, it was about the same price I could get it for online, but I was like, here it is in person. I could walk home with it now.
Yeah. You don't have to wait for
now. There was something else I wanted from SH Monster Arts that was a good price.
Yeah.
That actually was a good price. But I wasn't. It's like one of the ones I wanted to get eventually.
Uh-huh.
And like King Ghidorah, I've wanted for a long time.
Right.
You know, is that kind of deal?
Yeah.
So I was like, so I struggled with it for a while and I picked King Ghidorah. And it turns out, for other reasons that will become clear later, I made the right choice.
Okay. Yeah. By the way, I went on Facebook, my Facebook, to look at people. It's a lot of people who are at the con I follow.
Yeah.
Apparently Nick Cage showed up at some point.
Ooh. Yeah. You know what gets me about that though? Because. Well, that's another anecdote. I don't know how much detail I want to get, but they kind of pestered him a little bit.
Did they?
Yeah. And it's like, dude, let him just enjoy the con with his son. Like when you take a bunch of
pictures. Was he there with his son?
Yeah, he was. Okay. Because Victor had something where, I don't think this was bad because one of the artists we did talk to, and he's going to be on later, he posted something on Facebook and that part was cool. But then another artist was telling me that he was at some table and he was kind of getting pestered. Like by different people wanting to take pictures and all this stuff. And it's like, he's here with his son. Let him enjoy the con.
Yeah.
If he was here as Nick Cage, he would be on the guest list. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that always bothered me. But that kind of happened at a local shop, too, where he used to frequent it. And then somebody pestered him there. Never went back.
Oh.
You know? And it's like,
don't blame him.
Yeah, ultimately, he's still just a guy, you know?
Yeah.
If the shop advertised special guest Nick Cage, then it's different. You know what I mean?
You know what I would do is...
He's shopping with his young son. Yeah. I mean, let the guy be.
If I owned a comic shop, right?
Yeah.
And I had a celebrity like that who would frequent the shop, I would have a trade paperback specifically for throwing at people who were trying to get...
Oh, yeah.
Like a picture of him. Like, yeah. if he's sitting there reading, you see something, I'm going to go take a picture of him. You just throw the trade paperback at him and be like, you leave Mr. Cage alone!
You get one of those shelf-damaged Usagi Yojimbos.
Yeah.
So not only...
Coffee stains on it.
Yeah. Not only does the fact that it's like a wandering samurai kind of drive the pine home, but it's also the fact that, you know, it's a big, hefty book.
I would have used one of those Marvel, like a Marvel Masterworks I didn't want.
Oh, yeah. There
like a big, hard, just a big, hard book. And just let him know, I got your back, Cage.
Yeah, I got your back, yeah.
You leave Mr. Cage alone!
You will shop in peace, Mr. Cage.
Yeah, because I think Victor said, you know, the boy's name was Kal-El. And I think Victor said, I only know two Kal-Els, and one of them's, of course, Sig, who's been on the show. His son's Nick, and the other's Nick Cage, and he looks up, and there's Nick Cage. I was like, that's an awesome anecdote right there.
Oh, wow.
See, that was a good one, because he wasn't, you know... It was just a cool anecdote for Facebook. It wasn't like, you know, they weren't pestering the guy.
Right.
But that was cool, yeah. That's cool stuff.
Yeah, leave him alone.
Leave Nick Cage alone. Man. Leave him alone. Cool. Anything else this week?
No.
Until we get into the con?
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's get into this con.
Let's take a break.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get into the con.
And get this
we're going to get time. Up inside.
All up in the con.
Knee deep in the con.
Inside. It's a little scary when you see the sign. Picture it hairy and white, mean inside your mind.
Welcome back to the Geek Lounge. As we said earlier, we all went to the amazing Las Vegas Comic Con yesterday.
Aye, we did.
And it was a lot of fun.
It was, yep.
A lot of fun had by all, as it were.
Massive fun was had.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And
I had almost too much fun.
Almost too much
fun. Very, very expensive fun. Yes. It's nice to look at nice things, but it's not nice when you cannot buy them.
How much is, what happens if you get too much fun? Is it like you just fall on the floor
overload.
And just like start. Get a pen in her mouth, just swallow.
You have a fun seizure?
No, I have a fun hangover.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I did too, kind
where
of.
You're just like, I'm sick.
The goodness of the con was offset by that game I was talking about earlier, whatever.
The cool thing was we recorded that a lot of that for you, and we kept out the stuff where we were shopping and getting depressed because we didn't have money to get everything we wanted.
Yeah, we talked to a lot of artists.
We did talk to a lot of artists. It was awesome, yeah. A lot of good people out there. So
so for you now.
Yeah, that's right.
Are the recordings and all the people we talked to.
And even though they're during the recordings, you know, I think we did try to cover everybody's website. But, you know, there was a lot of people, so we might have skipped some things. I am going to make sure everyone we talk to, we get their information up online as well.
We will get links to these people so that you can see their amazing works.
Yep,
because a lot of them had a lot of amazing stuff.
There was a lot of amazing talent.
That's right. Yeah.
So it, wonderful.
One would say that this Las Vegas Comic Con was amazing.
Amazing, yeah. So without further ado, enjoy. I'm here with esteemed inker and artist Victor Moya, taking a look at some of his new stuff right now. How you doing, Victor?
I'm doing pretty good. Having fun.
Good. Good, good. All right, so tell me what I'm looking at here.
All right, you're looking at issue 3 of a book called Haas by Approbation Comics. And it's a book about racism and hate and how it's learned and taught, not just in us.
Very cool. Yeah, and this artwork is, like you said, very nice and clean. Your inks, as always, are super clean. Very nice lines. That's cool, man. And this is in issue 3 already, right?
Yeah, it's issue 3. There was a different artist for issue number 1, and he was supposed to finish up 2, but he bailed, so we're going to backtrack after 3 and finish up 2.
Oh, very cool. And then the other new thing you got, which is a couple pages back here. And you said that was a semi-biography about Rob Zombie?
It's an unauthorized biography about Rob Zombie by Rock and Roll Comics.
Ah, very cool. So Rob's not on board with this?
A lot of the guys in Rock and Roll Comics, the biographies, are really into the stories and like it and will even tell you stories that they shouldn't. It's unauthorized because the record companies did not license it.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, and that makes sense because they tend to own so many aspects of stuff. That's some cool looking art.
Thank you. It's another cover for one of the issues coming out in Rock and Roll Comics. I'm not quite sure which one it is. And then following are another two covers, one for Green Day and the other one is for the Lemmy tribute issue.
Very nice. And what else you got going on the table?
I just have some prints, some original art here. Different pages, published pages that I've worked on from other books, Star Trek, and different things like that.
Cool. Thanks for taking the time and talking to us. Definitely appreciate it. Thanks for showing us this stuff, too. This is very cool.
Yeah, thank you for enjoying it and wanting to see it.
All right, I am standing with local Las Vegas artist Sammy Crabman. How are you doing today, Sammy?
I'm doing awesome, B. How's it going?
It's good. Very good. I see you have a new book out.
Oh, yes, I do, man. I've been working on this for a while. It's called Nail. It's going to be a long-going series. It's about a young boy. He grew up with natural blue hair, picked on all his life, and he starts having dreams that he starts bringing in creatures from the spiritual realm into ours. And now he has to deal with that in the city as he fuses with one of the creatures and starts to fight off the rest.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. And now I got to see some of this way back in the day. How much of that actually made it into the final product?
Actually, the first two chapters were pretty much reimagined, so technically none of it.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, but all the story is still the same. It's still the same premise. It's still going to go in the same direction. It's going to be his journey. You know what I'm saying? He's going to find out what it really means to be a hero. And there's going to be some adult themes to it where he has to deal with the realistic aspect of being a hero, you know what I'm saying? The cops,
some of the sides that Marvel and DC just don't normally deal with, right?
Yes, yes. He has to deal with the cops. He has to deal with investigators always on his trail, people being on him for being a vigilante along those lines, and he has to deal with death as well because he's 14, you know what I'm saying? He's trying to deal with being a hero, and yeah, it's going to be a fun ride. It's going to be a fun ride.
Oh, very cool. So if you're looking for probably, arguably, a more realistic and modern-day take on the teenage superhero, definitely check out Nail, is what you're telling me.
Exactly, exactly. It's up on Amazon already.
Oh, very nice.
Yes, and eventually it's going to be in libraries, so be on the lookout for it. Like I said, it's going to be an ongoing series. I can't wait until get the whole entire volumes out. You're going to enjoy it.
All right, and that's called Nail, and that is A Common Spelling by Sammy Crabman, right? All right, very cool. Sammy, thank you for talking with us.
No problem. It's always good to talk to somebody, man. I'm lonely out here.
All right, we are now with our very first Volume 2 guest, Ken Lemoog. How you doing, Ken?
Hey, what's happening, geeks and nerds? Nice to see you here.
There you go. So, do you have anything new since the last time we talked to you? Now, I don't recognize Petro. Yes. That's got to be new. I think you talked about it, but you didn't have anything, right?
Yep, that is the latest one. Worked for about close to 5 months on this, and it's finally finished. So this is my wordless graphic book.
Nice, and that's Petro and the Flea King. Is this one also available on Amazon?
It's only available on limited release for today, for this weekend, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's not available yet anywhere. But yeah, printed a few copies, and everybody so far has loved it. So.
Great, so when this show hits tomorrow, that means you got about 2 hours to get to the con and buy Petro and the Flea King. When is it? Is there an official release, like a wide release?
Not yet. It's actually being shopped to publishers right now. So just hush us. Don't tell anybody. I have a few copies out here.
Ah, it's a secret. Now, Ken, you got any new issues of Monstrous out?
We've just finished all four issues, so it's out now. I'm working on the fifth one right now. So I got the script, and I'm just pounding away.
Very cool. Very cool. And then a Stumps of Flat Top Hill. How's that one doing?
That one's doing well. Not here yet. I think it's just a different market, but
yeah.
Other places, yeah, it's doing well.
Oh, really good. Yeah, because I really like that. That was some good-looking stuff. All right, cool. Thank you, Ken. It's always a pleasure. Oh, yeah, and officially, thank you for those coffee cups. Awesome, awesome stuff. They are totally legit.
We use them all the time.
Yeah, they're legit.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that's some good stuff. Thank you, Ken.
All right, guys, I'm here with James Bausema, illustrator, concept artist, and designer. How are you, sir?
Doing real good, man.
You've got a lot of beautiful prints here. Tell me about, what your inspiration is for a lot of these prints.
You know, just like a lot of other people here at the con, I'm a big geek, a lot of fan art. You know, a lot of us just paint and draw the kind of things that inspired us as kids and that we're still holding on to as adults. So, yeah, a lot of my subject matter has to deal with, you know, you got your Star Wars, pop culture type stuff. And,
well, you said a lot of us get inspired as kids, but only some of us actually do some about it. But what age did you realize, oh, man, this is something that I can do or something that I'm good at?
Preschool, kindergarten, I got really into drawing, mainly because I was an extremely unhealthy child. So sports were terrible for me, so I gravitated towards the more creative side of things. So drawing kind of became a thing that I could relate more to because I couldn't really get into sports or anything. But yeah, from a very young age, I was drawing all the time.
That's cool. Do you remember your first drawing or what you first drew at all?
I drew the Looney Tunes all the time. Those were my big things, Saturday morning cartoons. I would just try to recreate what I saw there, as well as like Disney movies and stuff. But I think, honestly, like the earliest I can remember of like really drawing things, trying to get it just like the artist did, was I got really into Space Jam as a kid.
Yeah.
So like I'm a 90s kid. So that came out at just the right time for me to where, like, that was the best thing ever. So I just drew a whole lot of Looney Tunes around that time.
I love Space Jam. It's great. Can you walk me a little bit through your process here on how you draw something, one of these beautiful prints?
Like, what I mainly do, I work primarily in Photoshop. So it all starts out as just a rough black and white sketch and then kind of going over it with color to kind of see where everything's going to land, what all the values and the composition is going to play out like. So do like a rough version before, and then I just start to block in all the big shapes. All the details is usually, it should be a last element that you add, but I admittedly get into the details very early on, so I get very frivolous with it.
Cool, and this is all wonderful. This is all beautiful work. I really like it. Where can people find you if they want to buy one of these lovely prints?
You can find me and just all the different sites that I'm on. You can just go to jamesbousema.com. This is James, BOUSEMA.com. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, Facebook. It's pretty easy to find me as long as you type in the name right. And on all of those, I also have a link to my Society 6 account where I sell prints.
Cool. That's James Bousema. Thank you so much, sir. I really appreciate you talking to us.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Hope you have a good rest of the con.
Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
I am here with Live Free, Die Free artist, Free Isabella. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm great. How are you doing today, Adam?
Good, good. Free and I actually go way back. We were instrumental in doing some local stuff and getting the community started, which Free has awesomely kept going through all these years, which is great. Now you guys still meet every week. We've actually plugged you guys on the show. Comic Jam Las Vegas. But that's awesome. Tell us what you're working on.
I'm still working on the Contraptor from LFDF Comics. I'm working on other people's creations. Actually, I'm doing three different projects for three different independent creators. And I just got done working with Marvel doing a card set for the 75th anniversary of Captain America.
Very nice. That's very cool. The independent stuff, is it anything you can talk about? I know some of it's usually secretive, but...
You know, it's so funny. Like, all these independent guys, like, they want to get their stuff out and they want to, like, sell millions of copies, but don't tell anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
But one of them is with David Lytle. He's a local creator. He did the Squeege. Did the Squeege. It's actually out there in Cosmic Comics. I'm working with a project for him called The Skilled Apprentice. And it's still coming along. We just got done production on the first book, and we're starting the second book.
All right, very cool. Now, we were talking a few minutes ago, and you were telling me about your Hawaiian vacation. Why don't you go ahead and tell me about that?
Oh, man, that vacation was not a vacation at all. I worked 24 days straight.
Yeah.
I did free comic book day at Other Realms Comics on Oahu. And then I did a signing at Barnes & Noble's. And then I went to Maui, the Big Island, Hilo, and then came back for the amazing Hawaii show. So that was like 24 days straight of work. But I loved it. I loved it.
Did you at least get to the beach once?
No.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm kidding. I actually went to the beach with Joe Benitez and Tia Marquis, and we actually got to swim with turtles. So that was really cool. We swam with turtles.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. In Hilo, my hotel room was facing a lagoon. So when I woke up, I literally lifted my head, looked at the lagoon, and right outside there's a dolphin swimming and jumping around. I'm like, this is what I'm doing with my life. I love it.
Very cool, very cool. Now, I will say, because for some reason this keeps coming up a lot lately, Free and I actually drove across country a few years back, and it was one of the best trips I think I've ever been on.
Oh, me too. Honestly, I told, like, when everybody says, oh, why'd you move from Hawaii to Vegas, that's one of the reasons. And I tell them, because I can go to New York with my friends and, you know, do the whole trip, literally cross country. I think we drove through, like, what, 26 different...
It was a lot, yeah.
Like, 26 different... states, and that was like one of my favorite trips of all time.
Yeah, it always comes up with fond memories. So all right, man, well, anything else you'd like to say before we get out of here?
No, I just want to thank you guys, Geek Lounge, for having me on, and thank you so much for...
We're gonna get you on the show proper, like. This is just a quick interview.
Oh, okay, well, again, thank you guys for doing what you guys are doing for the comic community, and, you know, keeping the nerd spirit alive. I love it. Thank you.
Absolutely, man, thanks for talking with us.
Cool.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Bye, see you later.
All right, I am here with Daryl Skelton, local Las Vegas legend, comic book artist extraordinaire, worked on Star Trek The Next Generation, has a ton of prints, beautiful stuff, huge booth. How you doing, Daryl?
Not too shabby.
Good, good, thank you. How's everything going for you this con?
I'm catching up on stuff. I had been sidelined by some bronchitis and so on in the early part of the year, so I'm actually working on a lot of sketch covers.
Very nice.
I have no idea why I'm holding it up to a microphone. But there's a sample right there. You can describe it. But anyway, I've been...
Classic Doom Spider-Man cover.
Yes, and I've got that, and I've got a triptych of Avengers cover to work on. I finished a Wolverine cover, and somebody came by earlier. I sent off also some Adam West Batman 66 covers. So I'm actually catching up on work from prior conventions. We've been selling some product here, and there are some people that do want to come by. They'll be by later on, I guess. They're thinking of ideas for some sketches here. I've got a Poison Ivy Batman 66 cover to do as well, so I'm keeping busy doing that.
Oh, very good. And I see you have a lot of original pages from Star Trek and some other pages, too.
Yeah, there's prints.
X-Men... Like original pages, original art pages. So if the show gets on the air and the con's still open for a couple hours tomorrow, I'll get down here. But Daryl, you do a lot of cons, so these things, well, if you miss something you like, but if these things are often available, right?
Yes, they are. I've got like literally hundreds of pages, stuff going back to even when I was working for the LA Times Syndicate back in 1982-83. So I've got hundreds of pages, so you can kind of follow my career and watch me grow up on paper.
There you go. That's a good way to put it. I like that. And, of course, you did some Tales from the Boneyard, Tales from Fremont, the last few issues, right?
Yeah, I got to write and draw. I used my wife, Marcia, as a serial killer.
That's right. I remember, yeah.
And back in the 90s, I used her in Star Trek. She was a character that ran for a few issues. Other artists actually drew her. She became part of the Enterprise. Earlier than that, back in the 1980s, she was in the Dallas comic strip. She was a Mexican maid, and I had to round her eyes out because she's Japanese.
Ah, okay. That's awesome.
So I've been abusing her for years on paper.
All right, very cool. So comic books and art in general is a community, and nothing can be better illustrated. Well, like, Daryl and his wife, Marcia, are awesome, by the way. And also, how that works is you also have a booth at Denver Comic Con this weekend, oddly enough.
Yes, I do. Some young hot talent that I'm using to take my and hold my space there.
That's my daughter.
Yes, Jasmine. She's doing great work, and I took the opportunity because number one, I wanted to hold the spot in Denver, and number two, I think she'd be excellent in sales as well as doing the artwork, and hopefully she'll flower from there and do stuff on her own.
Yeah. So there you go. Art is a community. And we help each other out and try to get each other to succeed. Daryl, we appreciate you talking with us today. You have any questions? No? I think I surprised you.
What's your favorite color?
What's your favorite color?
Blue.
What's your favorite color, Daryl?
Turquoise.
Ah.
So if you like green and you like blue, I kind of covered the gamut right there.
You beat me. It's two times the color.
All right, Daryl, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Thanks, all right, I'm talking here with Kevin Bieber, who is the writer?
The writer.
Writer and artist of Man vs. Rock.
I am the writer of Man vs. Rock. Mm-hmm. And lover, secret lover of Man vs. Rock.
Now, I'm wondering if this is about me, because I've beaten Rocks at a lot of stuff, foot races, pie eating contests. Is it about me? Did you know me? Is this?
Actually, this book has been strictly based on you. I've been following you around since I was a little child. And just taking pictures of you from the bushes and figuring out like what exactly makes you tick. So this book really is just our homage to you, who I just met 5 minutes ago.
I'm flattered and scared at the same time. Give me the pitch about Man vs. Rock here.
Forget everything you thought you knew about rocks. Man vs. Rock is this crazy comedy by this insane geologist named Buck Stone, who thinks that rocks are going to kill us all. That's right, rocks, the dumbest enemy ever. Why? Buck Stone has this crazy conspiracy theory that rocks hate us because, from the beginning of time, we enslaved the rocks to build the pyramids. No wonder they hate us. Buck takes it a step further and thinks that we didn't crucify Jesus. We crucified a rock instead. Rocks are sinners. That rock hath laid with my wife. When we landed on Plymouth Rock, did we kiss it like we learned in school? Hell no, we pissed all over that lazy bastard. And we even waterboarded the rocks to find Osama bin Laden at Gitmo. And it worked. So this crazy geologist, Buck Stone, thinks it's only a matter of time before the rocks strike back. And he goes on this hilarious crusade to save humanity from the dumbest threat ever. It's a lot of fun. His name, Indie Book of the Year by Comic Bastards and Bleeding Cool. You can get it on our website, www.whitehouse.gov/manversusrock, or our other website, manversusrock.com. Like us on Facebook, like us on Taylor, like us on Twitter at our hashtag @TaylorSwift. And yeah, or our other one, Madman vs. Rock. And we have a new video game out, so check it out.
Cool. Now, what is your inspiration for Man vs. Rock?
I wanted to be rich, so I thought that being an independent comic book creator would make me rich.
Wow, I bet you learned some hard lessons there.
Yes,
I know I did.
Yes, I have. I live underneath this table.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Well, thanks a lot for talking to us.
Thank you for talking to me. Matt,
you can hear about... What did we call... I just forget the catchphrase. The local comic book legend, James Stone. How are you doing today?
Doing awesome. How's it going, guys?
Good, good. How's the con going for you?
It's good, good. Big crowd this day. I mean,
I dispense with the pleasantries because you were just on the show last week, but it's good to see you at the con.
Absolutely.
Very cool. How are you doing today? Anything new? Probably not, huh?
No, pretty much what I talked about at the last podcast. KPN came out selling pretty well. Conquest, you know, commissions, all that good stuff.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Very cool. I was going to say, I don't know what else to ask. We just talked to you last week.
Which print is selling the best out of all your awesome prints?
They're all doing evenly well. Yeah, I can't say which one is selling any more than the others. A couple sold out, so that's good.
That's always a good thing.
Might have been lack of planning. I don't have enough.
You know what? Better to sell out than to have too many.
That's true. That's true.
And next to him, of course, is comic book artist and my old friend, Ish Samioa. How you doing, Ish?
Hey, how you doing? Hello to everyone.
So what do you got going on here, Ish?
Right now, selling some prints. The comic did well. Now I got to get a second printing on the first issue. And I am giving free sketches to the fans that show up.
Very cool. Where's your book, man? I don't see it.
Oh, it sold out already, man. Sold out already.
That's a good problem.
Yeah, I'm going to talk. There's going to be an extended version of the book coming out. I'm talking to the guy that's going to be publishing it out for me, so we'll be seeing it soon.
Ah, very cool, very cool. All right, guys, thanks for talking with us. We're going to get out of your hair.
See ya.
Thanks, guys.
I am here with Will Eagley and Sarah Freeman, a couple more local artists. Will is, of course, primarily an inker, but also an artist, and Sarah is an artist. She's got some awesome... is that knit or crochet?
Crochet.
That is crochet vegetables and fruits, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, and of course, that's Surf Tiki Studio. Now, Will has done some work. What's this comic called? And this one's available online right now, right?
Yep, that's Nova 619. It is online, DeviantArt, and also on their own website, which is Nova Prime. This is Sun Prime. Origin story and recap of his childhood.
Ah, very cool. Now you're working on a new book too, right?
Yep, that is As far as I've been told, it's going to be called Genesis Untold. It's a 140-page graphic novel for Storyboard Comics.
Very cool. Now, you can't talk too much about that one yet, right?
No, I don't know much about it. Just what I've been handed.
All right, very cool. The artwork looks great. And then, of course, you got other things for sale. Prints, a lot of cool watercolors, some Nintendo-themed cards, right?
Yep. You got Nintendo, Smash Brothers, Mario, and then some old ones in there as well.
Very cool. All right, guys. I appreciate you talking to me, although how are you, sir, since you didn't say hi?
Hi.
I appreciate you talking to me. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
So quiet. All right, I am here with Arnell and Steph, the NinjaBot, at the Maximum Comics booth here at the amazing Las Vegas Comic Con. How are you guys doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Doing great, thank you.
Awesome. So for our listeners, what do you guys do? I mean, I'm looking at it, but of course, that doesn't really translate well.
We do our own art prints, basically our own take on pop culture.
Yeah.
We try to make it as fun and inclusive as possible for everybody.
Lots of colorful stuff. Everything is really either a movie or a show that we love and something like that.
Yeah, and it is a wide, very wide variety. It's awesome stuff. I'm looking at a really cool circus print that is, it's awesome. Can I say what it is?
Yeah.
It is the Flying Graysons. It is really awesome. I actually really like that one. I know I bought a couple. I think
yeah.
I do have that one.
Yeah, I
was going to say, but I don't have a lot of room where I'm at right now, so no, I can't display everything right now.
One day slowly.
Yeah, there you go. So what are you working on here? That looks like a really cool Chewbacca variation.
I've been doing little, they're not really caricatures, but little like cutesy versions of dogs as pop culture characters. Right now I'm doing a Shih Tzu-ish kind of dog.
Gotcha.
As Chewbacca.
We call them pop dogs.
Yeah,
we
call them pop
cats.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's a cat, so.
Yeah.
I love the colors on that. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Cool. And you guys are online, right?
Yes.
We are at theninjabot.com.
We have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of them at theninjabot.
And nice and simple, and anybody can find your stuff on there. And it is some beautiful stuff, I can tell you that firsthand. So I bought stuff. My partner, Luis.
I bought a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
There you go. All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for talking to us today.
No, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, guys. I'm here with Ted Chambaris, who's right next to Man vs. Rock. We thought we'd talk to you about your comic book, Poverty Pack. Can you tell us a little bit about what it's about?
Absolutely. Our Poverty Pack, it's a bunch of B-grade superheroes. They want to get together and form a team, but they don't have a billionaire to help fund them. So what happens when you fight crime and you wreck half the city? Someone's got to pay for it, right? So they got to get jobs or end up in the unemployment line, you know, to help fund their crime-fighting careers. So it's a lot. There's a lot of parodies, a lot of humor. It's just stuff that we did just to make each other laugh, and we said, you know, well, let's put it in a book, and we're just having fun with it.
Cool. Now, tell us a little bit about where this idea came from.
Well, my buddy Derek Lipscomb, he's the artist. We've been trying to publish a comic for a long time, and things just never seemed to gel together, and then we just said, you know what? We like superhero comics. We like blaxploitation movies. We like parody movies, Mel Brooks, giant monster and robots. Let's put it all together in a book and bring back characters that we created when we were like kids, revamp them, and then here we are doing Poverty Pack and just trying to make each other laugh.
Cool. Now, you got a few issues out here. Is there anywhere where people can find your work if they want to buy it besides the con?
Oh, absolutely. We have our website is www.afrostashstudios.com, and we're also on Indie Planet as well.
Cool. Thank you so much for talking to us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Welcome back. We hope you enjoyed our experiences at the con.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, we'll talk a little bit about our conversation today, and it'll be abbreviated.
I wish I had more money to buy more stuff from some of those people, because it was like...
Yeah, that is true. I felt bad because I didn't bring any cash, and I kind of forgot about some of the local people.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what a dummy.
I got so much cool. I don't know if I should talk about it yet, or if he wants me to, but I did get a book from... from Ken.
The new one that he was looking for,
he's shopping around, but he sold me one of his prints.
It was
one of the books. One of the books. And he signed it for me, and it's really great.
It was very cool.
It's an awesome little edition of that book.
So. It is, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff. I didn't find what I was looking for, but I did find a lot of local stuff that I liked.
Yeah, we did get a print for The Office, actually, which is not quite up yet, but we will have it up soon and get a picture for you. And that we actually did talk to that artist, and he's going to be on the website as well.
Awesome.
Guys, it's going to be the first piece of flair in this office.
Yeah. Well, we got like four to put up. We're just a little slow.
We have to have a minimum of 15 pieces of flair for this to be an office.
Exactly.
I think we've used that joke a lot, too.
And one has to be one big yellow happy face.
Yeah.
There you
Gotta have that
we
one.
We need one of those motivational
You can
posters.
Get the Watchmen one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With the bloodstain on it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, what was your take on the con, Luis?
You know what? It's still growing, at least I hope, because there's not a lot going on. Like, when we go to WonderCon, it shouldn't just be shopping. You should have all kinds of experiences there. And it seemed like they only had like a space for panels.
Yeah.
Which.
Well, you're also talking
about. Yeah.
Like this compared to WonderCon, you're also talking about WonderCon is probably at least three times the size.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. It's all this is really like a nice, like a cool place to go shopping as much as it is anything else.
But I think some of that was there. I just don't think we're quite paying attention to some of that. Now, granted, I think, and I do stand by this, I think Denver Comic Con, which is one of the largest Comic Cons in the country, even though they're only in like their third or fourth year, they've consistently been one of the largest in the country, in the U.S. I think they drew a lot of professional talent away. Mm-hmm. So I don't think scheduling-wise it was probably the best choice to have it on the same weekend.
Right.
Because there wasn't a lot of big professional talent.
Oh, it was on the same
weekend? Yeah, it was this weekend, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think there was a lot of professional talent at our little con, like there usually is, because honestly, that's one thing about Vegas is people like to come to Vegas.
Well, So even our little cons,
we actually get some pretty big names usually.
Well, that's
we just
not
didn't get
that's
that.
Not what I mean though.
We get a couple.
What I mean was that there was nothing really to do there but shop.
Yeah.
It seemed like
because there's
which
only...
is fine. I mean, if you have money to spend, by all means, go there and spend it. It's great. I didn't have money to spend, so most of the time I was pretty stressed out about all the stuff I couldn't buy.
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. Yeah, because even panels, it seemed like they only had one panel at a time, where at WonderCon, you could go to one of 15 panels at any given time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so, again, you're also talking size.
That con just has a little more growing to do, that's all.
Yeah. It was cool, though. It was nice. I was really skeptical about the Las Vegas Convention Center, and I thought it was nice.
I was wondering if that might have been one of the reasons they couldn't do panels. Like, I don't know if that facility has extra rooms that they could send people to.
Honestly, I'm not sure how that
it's a convention center. I don't see why they wouldn't.
I don't know. I don't know anything about that place. That was the first time I had ever been there.
I haven't been there since I was like a kid.
Right.
Since Sheldon Adelson started stealing business away when he stole CES and bunch of other cons.
I don't know what any of that means.
Well, you know, Vegas, Las Vegas Convention Center used to do a bunch of cons, and then when we had our sort of
like big comic cons,
big building,
comic book cons,
but like a lot of cons,
okay.
A lot of conventions, and when and CES, of course, one of the larger ones.
Yeah,
when Sheldon Adelson, I think he primarily was the one. Honestly, when the 90s, we had that big build up in the 90s of all the new hotels, and they actually built these huge convention spaces. You know, I think he bought CES, and a lot of the cons actually moved away. So, honestly, I didn't even realize that building was still open in use.
Oh,
you know, that's weird to say as a local, but I really didn't. I hadn't been there. I think I worked there as a teenager as a parking attendant to make extra money, because you could do that back then, you know?
Right.
I mean, it was very easy to do. So, I didn't even know. Like, I had these weird visions, like, we were going to go there, and it was this rundown, gloomy place from the 70s.
It looked pretty nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
Still had shag carpeting.
Yeah.
Still had those classy big chandeliers.
Yeah. That kind of thing. But no, it was cool. But yeah, it is still pretty small, though, but I thought it was a nice space.
It was. You know what? It was nice to go there to talk to people, to see some talented people who you probably would never know about.
Correct. Yeah.
To buy cool things that you would never see at a regular store, a regular retail store.
Yeah.
But honestly, I mean, it would just seem like it was mostly shopping. At WonderCon, like when I go to WonderCon, like I go to like a million panels.
There's
I go
a lot
like
to do,
I go everywhere.
Yeah.
Besides just the floor
I mean, that'll come with time, and if it continues to grow and get large, I mean, that's when that'll change.
And like, I hope it does. I hope we have a big con.
And I think Denver honestly hurt that, because it seemed like there was more going on last year at Amazing Las Vegas when we weren't competing with an actual large con that probably invited a lot of high caliber guests. Because I know every con we've had, even tiny ones, we've had some pretty serious big names. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this year it just wasn't. I mean, granted, Chris Claremont was there, by far the biggest. But there's a few other people, but just
Kevin Eastman was there.
Yeah, nothing like before.
Yeah.
You know, and we usually get Hollywood people, too, and there was nobody that I could think of.
But did we not?
Besides Nicolas Cage? There was some, well, yeah, but he was there as a guest. There was, what was I going to say? There was a lot of voice actors from, like, Street Fighter games, which is cool.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. But, yeah, no, that was cool. And, but, you know, nothing... Nothing like oomph, you know.
I think the biggest people there were all comic book people.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Artists and writers.
How was your take, Erica? What did you?
I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I like. It looked like they had a pretty big artist alley.
Yeah.
So it was fun looking at all the different styles and the different things everyone makes.
Yeah.
And I got two sketches.
I liked how they wrapped the artist alley. Sort of. It wasn't even It was like a long. It was like an artist expressway. It like wrapped around the whole con. It was like one long row or two long rows.
Almost snaked around.
That was kind
of
cool.
The entire outside of the con floor was all artists.
That was now my second favorite, because I hate the traditional way where it's like artist alley, but it's sort of like the corner of the con.
Yeah.
Where it's like you kind of get that feeling, even though you get there and it's never this way. It always seems like the darker, less happy part of the con.
Sure, yeah.
And sometimes that's true, because some people just sit there and then they look sad. I hate to say that,
but I could have gone to law school.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, I think Kamikaze still does it best, but this is now a very close my second favorite. You know what I mean? And I mean very close to taking the way amazing I mean Kamikaze does it. I don't know if you've ever been to Kamikaze.
I have not been to Kamikaze.
Kamikaze doesn't do like that, just rows of tables. They do these pods, and it just, the way it worked out, the energy on the floor was completely different. It was actually really amazing. Mm-hmm. I think they still do it the best as far as how they set it up for independence and stuff.
Every time I go to a con, I'm always happy to see people who are there just kind of celebrating what they love.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the one cop who I think was a jock in high school who was so pissed. Do you remember
he had that look of disdain,
There was a North Las Vegas.
Fucking nerds.
Or Metro?
I think he was convention security.
No, I think he was a cop.
No, he wasn't. Because the patch said Las Vegas Convention Center.
Oh, okay.
But they had the same, like, that tan uniform that Metro wears.
He was Metro, but he looked mad. He was just like, I should just swirly every single one of them. Like, he was so mad, yeah.
Yeah, granted, if you're listening out there, we don't know what was going through your head. You could have just dealt with some real jerk. We don't know.
That could just be your face.
But he did have this look of
resting
disdain,
bitch face.
These people. Yeah. He did have that look on his face.
Maybe he was angry because he couldn't enjoy the con himself.
Maybe.
Wish I wasn't working right now.
Yeah, maybe.
Look at assholes doing everything I want to do.
Yeah, maybe.
You're so nice and sympathetic, because the first thing I thought was, oh, I'm going to fucking just wedgie the crap out of everybody.
But you got to remember, that's how we're used to being, you know, we get back into that mode, and that's how we're sort of used to dealing with
defense
people
mechanism.
Dealing with nerds. Yeah. We don't know what's actually going through that poor guy's head.
Yeah.
He could have literally been like, I just want to check stuff out. I can't check anything out.
Yeah. I want to go buy something cool.
Yeah.
I want to get something for my son. We don't know. We're just jerks.
I'm sorry to bring it back to soccer, but if you ever watch, if you ever see, like, in the back, when they get close up onto the field, there's always these security guards who have to face away from the field
to look up at the crowd,
obviously because they're security.
Yeah.
Imagine being a fan of the game, the beautiful game, and then you're just eyes up. You can't even. People are cheering. You can't see why.
Yeah.
Your job is to not pay attention.
Yeah, exactly.
To the
your
game.
Job is to pay attention to something but the game,
the
and you're on
the
field.
Game.
So that might have been his problem. Was
true.
Well,
that's why you don't.
I bet
take
he was a geek.
You take that job because you're like, I'm going to see every soccer game, and then
what
you realize
that guy,
you don't see any soccer games.
What if that guy was I don't know. Like, what if his thing was, I wish I could wear my Sailor Moon outfit and just like cosplay like that. Like that like cross-dress cosplay. That's what that guy was into. I'm not saying it was, but what if it was?
Yeah.
Could have worn my pretty Sailor Moon outfit.
That's right. I could have worn my uniform outfit with my hoof gloves.
Yeah, and I would have been the talk of the con.
That is
the
awesome.
The bell of the ball.
The bell of the ball.
Any other experiences you guys want to share?
It was friendly. I had a good time. I talked to people.
Yeah.
We met up with, of course, Erica and Michelle,
yep.
Our video game correspondent from Volume 1.
Yep.
And that was fun. So, yeah. I mean, what other experiences could you have but fun?
Awesome Ben Grimm cosplay, which you never see.
Yeah, no, that was probably really because cool. It's hard to do.
Yeah. And it wasn't, and the beauty thing, and that they probably realized this, is the beauty thing was the costume itself, if you wanted to be critical, mm-hmm. I mean, you could critique the crap out of it, but the fact that that costume had so much personality.
Yeah.
Like just looking at it, you're like, this guy gets it. Or yeah. This person gets it because you couldn't see. I don't know who was wearing it.
I really got the sense it was based on like somebody's really specific fan art. Yeah. You know? Yeah. It had such character.
It did.
You know?
It looked
so good.
I will post a picture of that.
It was charming as shit.
Yeah. That's on James Stone's Facebook, but I'll post a picture of it.
One of the things that I like about cons, and there was a lot of it at this con, is when you see like kids and their parents and they're both like cosplaying or they're both participating and it's nice, you know, to see them cultivating such a deep love of these things.
Yeah. So, what did we see walking
like
in?
The
we saw Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Black Widow. And they
married
had
a couple.
Yeah. And
she didn't eat them. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. and they had three kids. One was Spider-Man and two were the Flash.
Two were the Flash.
Little girl, little boy were the Flash. So yeah. it was adorable. But I mean, like, it was a lot of that going around. Like people would bring their kids in and their kids would be
something
dressed up and they would be dressed up. And it's
a lot of fun.
It's nice. Yeah. I like seeing that kind of stuff.
It's cool. Anything else, Erica?
Well, I noticed there's been this trend for artists to put their prints onto metal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There were a lot of people with that at the con, and I was like, this is awesome, because I really like getting the little trading card-shaped ones. I'm like, it's a little treasures.
I know,
they're so
cool.
Beautiful. Because
Michelle
bell, awesome. I was going to say, the bell of that ball, and I think that's what you're going to talk about, was the sort of sepiaed vignette-style
Universal Monsters. Yeah. Oh,
on
my
that
God.
Foil. Amazing.
When she because we lost track of you guys, and then she came back. She's like, look what I bought. And I was like, oh my God, that is beautiful.
Yeah.
Bela Lugosi, Link, Lon Chaney Jr., all those guys right there on. It looked nice. It was
beautiful.
Gorgeous.
It looked like a specific photographic process, an old aged.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I'll ask her.
It looks so good.
I won't post a photo without her, but if she says okay, we'll post that photo too. But they're beautiful. They are
I got
beautiful.
A Space Ghost print from those guys with Zorak and Brack. I'm like, yes, I love his talk shows.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, I recommend that if you have a chance to go to a con, do it.
Do it.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Big, little, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
There's definitely. Always something to enjoy at a con.
Absolutely.
I don't think I've heard anyone go to a con and go, yeah, that con sucked in every way, shape, and form.
Wizard World.
Well, I've never been to Wizard World, so.
But anyway, I'm not going to get negative, but I've heard like two in a row is like pretty disappointing, but that's okay. That's okay. You know. Amazing Las Vegas Comic Con. This is their third or fourth
Oh, don't
year?
Look at me. I haven't been for
I don't
a
keep
year
track.
Or two. I don't know.
Yeah.
You've tabled one or two.
In the beginning, I think I did it 2 years.
It's
the first 2 years?
Third or fourth year, I think. I'm pretty sure.
How does it feel when people, and I've noticed people do this a lot, and I've done this a lot, they tell you you're great, and then they're like, but I'm not going to buy anything. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
well,
is it a little like put yourself on the other side of that? I mean,
no.
I know. I've been on both sides.
You have so much money to spend.
I know.
And you usually have an idea of what you want,
too. Yeah. I'm just saying, some stuff's pretty cheap. You can just You can drop $5-$10 on a print from somebody instead of just going, oh, this is great, and then just walking away. Which I saw a lot of at the con, unfortunately.
But, there also has to be a really realistic side about that. I mean, you're literally in a bazaar competing with dozens of artists.
That's true.
And I'm not trying to say it's a competition in forms of winners and losers. It's a competition for what people like and what they're willing to buy. And you got to be realistic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I know we stopped doing cons with our comic book stuff because, for me, and I'm not saying this is the same for everybody, but for me, the question became about financials. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not worth it. Now, that's not to say other people it's not worth it for, because I'm sure for some of them it is, and that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I just didn't think it was a efficient way to get out there, But that's not the same for everybody, so,
I feel like I could actually table at a con decently. I mean, I've been to so many now, but it's just I haven't done consistently new work in very long. Yeah, so it's like I really need to make work and then go to a con and be like, look, this isn't from 2008. You know?
Yeah, well, it is tough. It is tough to have and even actually Daryl Skelton, who we talked a little bit about, but this was the off-recording talk where he talked about, you know, it's tough to do a job, a day job, and then go home and work on creative stuff. It's tough.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, that day job, no matter how meaningless it is, it still takes energy.
Are you talking about our day job?
Anyone's day job, to be honest. Anyone's. And that even includes my daughter, who, you know, she's an artist as well, an amazing artist. But, you know, it's just the day job takes its toll. It's unfortunate. You know, but it does.
I think that might be the main reason I don't really table at cons anymore, because I'm tired by the end of the week. I'm like, I'm going to work three times harder over the weekend when I really need that downtime.
Yeah.
And it just takes so much out of me.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's a labor of love, but
it's tough.
I don't know. I need to have enough time, you know.
I can do it in spurts, but I do hit a point where I just
vacation time
burn.
Saved up.
Yeah, I can do it in spurts where I can really do a lot of stuff on weekends for like a month, maybe two, but then I'm like,
I would honestly just recommend then if you're going to go to a con, save up, I don't know, $20 to spend on like
the little stuff.
Buy yourself something nice.
Yeah, to spend on, like you can buy whatever you want, $20, $30 to spend on a local artist who works very hard, because you can find a lot of great artists. Erica's a great artist. You should spend money on Erica or anybody else who does great art.
Yeah.
Or Will.
You know, I'm not saying you have to, I'm not saying you have to buy from every single person, but, you know, do support
local artists. That's where I messed up. I'm so embarrassed by that. Like, I didn't even, I had my mind wrapped on so many other things when I got there. I was like, I didn't bring any cash. And I know there's a lot of little things I want. It's like, what a dope. Like,
when I saw Will later, I was like, oh my God, I kind of spent all my money already. Yeah. And I really want one of your cute little Pokemon drawings.
Yeah. I did the same thing. They had those crocheted fruit too. It was awesome. Yeah. Those things are cool.
I did the same thing with the Ninja Bot. By the time we got back over there and I saw that Martian print, I was like, I'm all out of money.
Yeah, Ninja Bot has, they have some
gorgeous from the movie The Martian.
They have a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, they have a lot of, but that one was like, oh my God, that's really great. Anyway,
what you gonna do? So there we go. We're talking positive about the con and then lamenting about not having money to buy some stuff that we wanted.
I think I got some cool loot. But, you know, I did all right.
For people who work a regular job, that seems to be the complaint. Great con, not enough money.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can get back to the 80s where we have all this disposable income and we can just go to a con and blow like $2,000.
Maybe in Trump's America. Maybe in Drumpf's America.
Drumpf's,
Giant Meteor 2016, please.
All right, you guys ready?
End it all.
You guys ready to get out of here?
Yes.
Try to enjoy the rest of our Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, by the way, to you.
Happy Daddy Day.
Happy Father's Day, Daddy Harm.
Yeah.
Happy Father's Day to
you,
my father.
Yeah.
You know.
You fathers.
Sons. Mother lovers.
Yeah, there you go. All right, guys. You think that's it, right?
Yeah.
We are out. Thank you for tuning in.
Peace.
And we'll see you next week.
Created by Louise LaTorre and Munch, The Geek Lounge is produced and hosted by Louise LaTorre and Adam Smasher, and was recorded at Giga Hub Studios. You can find this show and many other shows at GigaHub.com and on Facebook under The Geek Lounge or on Twitter at Geek_Lounge. The show's theme is Shock Lunatique by the band Turquoise. You can find them at TurquoiseBand.com, TurquoiseBand.com, for music, merchandise, tour dates, and much more.